This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilliard.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
Ten. Romans chapter 10, are you there? Okay, I'm going to make a few more pastoral comments, and then we're going to move on. Fasting day on next Wednesday. Amen? I want you to fast. Left City is a supernatural project. It's a project God spoke to me about. And I don't take an assignment from God lightly. Amen? And I've watched how God has brought everything together. He's brought my construction crew together. I think I've covered everything. I want us to make sure that we invite somebody next week, and it's going to be an incredible week. And Senior Saints, boy, y'all going to Kima. I wish I could go with y'all. I got something I'm committed to do, but I wish I could go with y'all. I've been trying to get down to Kima by 5 years. I have. So, y'all have a good time for me.
I will.
She said, I will. She said, I will. Amen. It's good to have a church family like we have. Amen. Amen. I am so pleased with everything. You know, I'm in, as I said on the video, I'm not planning to die. I ain't planning to die. If I told you, if I die now, I'm going to have a look on my face that the Undertaker can't get off. They're going to have that casket closed. Can't have that boy looking like that. No. So, but I'm so happy with everything. I'm happy with a church. I just told Sister Bev up there when doing the offering there. And, say, I don't know how I got to be 65. I'll be 64. I'll be 65 by the end of this summer, August 29th. Yeah. She's clapping. That's a good place to clap. I'd rather y'all be saying he is 65 than he, you know, he would have been 65 today. Oh, Jesus. Okay. And it's about Dr. I's 40. How did that girl get to be 40? Amen. Huh? Yeah, but it's good. It's all good. I'm proud of all of my children. And I watched how God has used them. Amen. And is using them. All right, let's get into this word. Let's raise our Bibles. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing?
Hearing by
the word of God.
Amen. Now, I'm so excited about teaching this lesson to you. Verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Shall not be ashamed. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we always like to put the words on the screen, and then we ask you to take some notes so later on you can go and look at these passages and be blessed by them. Now go to Psalms 31. Psalms 31, this should end our series on confident living beyond shame. Confident, the secrets to living, to confident living. All right, the secrets of living a confident life. Confident in God. All right, verse 1 says, in thee, O Lord, have I what? Put my trust. I want you to just kind of take a little time to absorb that. Lord, in you I have put my trust. Let me never be what? Ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Underline thy righteousness. Living a confident life beyond shame. We've done pretty much, we've taught several weeks on shame, being ashamed, experiencing humiliation, something that happens throughout the course of life. But then rebounding from that is vitally important so that you live a life where you don't take on shame and let shame define you, to make you think that you're less than, make you think that God doesn't love you, to make you think that you are disgraced, and that is what the devil wants to do. He wants to take an experience that you've had in your past and cause it to define your future. But we're not going to let that happen, because we know that whatever Jesus died for, put on the cross, means it's something that could be detrimental to the human experience, and is something he paid the price for. So he already paid the price for your shame. Amen. So now, how do we rebound from that? How do I rebound from that? I rebound from that through spiritual warfare. What spiritual warfare? By not letting the devil talk me into the bottomless pit of despair, nor let him cause me to think destructively about myself, nor allowing him to cause me to think less than and have low self-esteem because of something that has happened in my life. It is spiritual warfare for every believer. We've already looked at Ephesians chapter 6, where there it talks about the fiery darts of the devil. We understand that the devil does not show up in a red suit and a pitchfork with it in his hands, but he shows up in the arena of my thought life by shooting negative thoughts. And then we take the thought by saying them, and that is when now he begins to lord it over us. But we're learning not to do that, because in the moment, everybody say in the moment, in the moment when I'm under attack, I also will understand that that's the moment, the divine moment, where I have to then do what the word of God says do and not buy into the plan of the devil. Amen. All right, now go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, because we want to live lives where we are above shame. But not just above shame, I want to have a confident life and move beyond it so that I can have the abundant life that God wants me to have. Amen? And that's my goal. I want to live the abundant life. I want to have everything God says I can have, but I understand it's going to require something of me. All right, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire. Now look what I'm supposed to do. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So I've been told to resist the devil. Under another passage in James, it says, if I resist the devil, he will flee from me. So I've got to resist these negative thoughts that will talk me into feeling shame and humiliated by something that has happened in my past, when, no matter what has happened, he paid the price for it so that I could live above it. Everybody say, live above it. All right. And so what we want to talk about today and put some emphasis on it, we want to talk about confident living, living with confidence, living with confidence. Now, a lot of time when you talk about confident living, people think you're arrogant. It's not arrogance. It's confident. Yeah. Confident living, then, is pursuing abundant life with a bold assurance and trust in the love of God for his protection, for his provisions, and his promises. Let me give that to you again. It is pursuing the abundant life with a bold assurance and trust in the love of God for his protection, for his provisions, and his promises. It's often confused with arrogance, but it's about being strong in the Lord. That's what it's about. Now, one of the lessons that I learned from Apostle Frederick K.C. Price was that of discipline. Everybody say discipline. See, I can know what to do but not have the discipline to do it, and I won't get results. You get results in the kingdom of God from having a disciplined lifestyle. Everybody say disciplined lifestyle. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, because my points today is going to be the disciplined, confident, conscious living. Disciplined, confident, conscious living. In other words, this is something I do on purpose, because for me to live with confidence in my relationship with God, it is above and beyond how I feel at the moment. Hunch the person next to you and say, you need to listen to him this morning. You need to listen to him. See, we grow up in cultures, in church cultures, where it's based on feeling. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'll pray. I feel good. But see, when it comes to living by faith, it's not about feeling at all. And most people never graduate to that point. They're still waiting on some goosebumps or waiting to feel good, when real results come from discipline. Everybody say discipline. Now, discipline is enforced obedience, whereby one makes a deliberate choice beyond being ruled by emotions or feelings, but by the desire to have promised results. Everybody say, get the CD. All right, now watch this. So Jesus makes this statement here to help us understand what discipline is in John chapter 8 and verse 31. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a disciplined one. He says it is by continuing in the word, by your focus on the word of God, despite circumstances, despite what people say, you focus on the word of God. If you do that, then you develop discipline. So discipline is having the ability not to be ruled by feelings, not to be ruled by circumstances, but is that's what the word of God says. Even though I don't feel anything, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. I wish I had a better amen than that, but it'll get better as we go. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, under number one, this point number one, we're going to look at the dynamics of our lordship commitment. The dynamics of our lordship commitment. Living with confidence. Living understanding that my relationship with God is going to afford victory in my life. Therefore, failure is not an option. Everybody say, failure is not an option. Jesus. Hallelujah. Preach my own self happy just in the beginning of this lesson. All right, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Everybody say, lordship. So I'm doing more than joining church. I made him Lord. Now, when I make him Lord over my life, that means I forfeit the right to do what I want to do. But from this point on, I give him the right to tell me what to do. That's what it means to make him Lord. It means more than just going to church. It is a commitment that I have made to him that he now has the right to direct my life. He has the right to direct my life. It is more than the adoption of a philosophy. It is about a relationship with a living God. Amen, amen. Now, so at that point, watch this. I receive redemption. Everybody say redemption. All right, what that means? That means now I have been bought back. Because when Adam sinned, now I'm under the cloud of sin. I was born in sin, but the price has been paid for me, and I'm now his property. Everybody say redemption. Yeah, I have received redemption. Number two, I have received righteousness. I have received righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Now, righteousness means right standing. I'm in right standing with God. If I'm in right standing with God, then all of the benefits of right standing with God are mine. Everybody say, I'm in right standing with God. Now you got to get this, child of God. You got to get this. I'm in right standing with God. Watch this. And here's why. Watch this. I have been made righteousness. I did not earn righteousness, but I've been made righteousness. And if I've been made righteous, I'm still righteous no matter how I behave, because my righteousness is not based on performance, but on position. All right, go with me to the Bible, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm righteous. Everybody say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Yes, I'm righteous. I don't have to feel righteous. I'm righteous because I've been made righteous. I'm righteous based on the word of God. That's why it's important for you to be in a church that just doesn't give you a motivational speech, but a church that shows you what God says in his word. Because the word is truth, and you can base your life on the truth of God's word. All right, verse 20 says, verse 21 says, watch this. Well, I can start verse 20. It says, Now then, you're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Might be what? Made the righteousness of God in him. Everybody say, I've been made righteous. Now, in other words, I've been placed in right standing with God, that he took my sin and gave me his righteousness. All right, let's see if we can back this up with another scripture. Go with me now to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now, this message of righteousness is so vitally important, and it's fundamental, and I really want all y'all to get it, because it is only when you stumble and fall that the devil now comes, and he tries to tell you, you're not going to get blessed, you're not going to do this, because he wants you to believe that it is your righteousness that will cause the blessing of the Lord to come upon you. And it's not. And if he can sell that bill of goods to you, then he can keep you bound. All right? Are you there? Verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one." What's that mean? Because of Adam's sin, death came into the earth. All right, "much more, they which receive abundance of grace," grace is unmerited favor, means I didn't have to work for it. This is something that God gave me. "And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Everybody say, "gift of righteousness." Yeah, I want you to get this. When I receive Jesus as my Savior, he takes my sin and gives me right standing. Now, that's important, because when I start reading through the Bible about the benefits of righteousness, watch this. If I don't understand it's talking about me, I think it's talking about my good performance. And since I have not performed well all the time, I will disqualify myself. So we read in chapter 31 of Psalms, verse 1, that my deliverance is based on thy righteousness. Everybody say, his righteousness. All right, go to Psalms 5. I'm kind of going out of the way a little bit, but I got to get this, because this is the key to my confidence. See, my confidence is not how well I live, but my confidence is in his grace, his mercy, his love, and his righteousness. Amen, amen. All right, look at verse 12. It says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the..." Come on, verse 12. "For thou, Lord, will do..." Who's going to bless? Look, person that says, talk about me. All right. "With favor wilt thou compass him, surround him as with a shield." Oh, my God. That's something to shout about. Because he gave me his righteousness. And since he gave me his righteousness and made me righteous, watch this, I qualify for all of the benefits of righteousness that I find in the word. All right, now go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, because this is the key for confident living. Everybody say, "I want to live with confidence." Yeah, all right, watch this. All right, verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the..." Who? That's you talking about me, all right? "But the Lord delivers him." Him who? The righteous. Out of how many?
All.
Oh, my God. So being born again, being a Christian, doesn't exempt you from life's challenges. But I have the assurance. Everybody say assurance. I have the assurance that I will be delivered out of them all. Therefore, failure for me is never an option. Hey, glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. All right, now, I also receive, watch this, relationship. Everybody say relationship. Amen. What do you mean by relationship? I'm now a child of God. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Everybody say, "I'm a child of God." Yeah. You are in the family of God. Yes, that means a whole lot. I'm in God's family. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a child of God. Amen. If I'm a child of God, and God, you love your children, don't you?
Amen.
Well, come on now. Don't you think God loves you?
Amen.
Our verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that" what? "Believe on his name." Everybody say, "I'm a child of God." Give a person a high five next to you, because you know your relationship. I'm not just a church member. I'm a child of Almighty God. Amen, amen. All right, now go to Galatians chapter 3. You're a child of God. I'm getting you in this. I'm laying the foundation for your confidence. Confidence is not in your performance. The confidence is not in your pedigree. The confidence is not in your position. But my confidence is in my relationship with God. All right? Verse 26. "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what puts me in the family. Amen. Now, the dynamics of this lordship calling is number one, there's a sovereign calling to purpose. I have a purpose in my life, and my purpose is to be a part of doing good works. Everybody say, my purpose in life is to be a part of doing good works. Okay, let me show it to you. Ephesians chapter 2. I thought I was going to be able to go through this quickly, but I got to plow a little bit now, all right? Verse 10 says, for we, talking about the believer, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I have been created for good works, which God hath preordained that we should walk in them. Amplify says it this way, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do the good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So I've been created to do good works. And the only way I'm going to be fulfilled is doing the work of God. Amen. That's what's going to bring me fulfillment. Your career will not bring you fulfillment. What's going to bring you fulfillment is you doing the work of God. So you've been created on purpose by God to be involved in the work of God. I want all my young people to hit me on this, because I know at this time in their lives, they want to pursue this, that, and the other. But never forget that God has given me gifts. He's given me talents so that they can be used in the kingdom of God. And that is how I'm going to be fulfilled. Amen. So there's a sovereign God called to purpose, but there's also a sovereign God called to partnership. Everybody say partnership. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 4, a partnership. God's looking for partners. He wants something done in the earth. He will give you a desire so you can bring that desire to pass so that others can be blessed. Every vision from the Lord is pre-programmed for blessings on others. Every vision from the Lord. Like we're talking about Love City now. It's pre-programmed so that others can be blessed. Amen. We're talking about right now, of course, Pastor Designate, you know, moving on, being elevated. Now, that's so that others can be blessed. Whenever there is a desire, whenever there is a vision from the Lord, watch this, then there is it's always pre-programmed to bless others. All right, look at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So we're not all called to do the same thing, but we're all called to be partners with God in one way or another. Everybody say, I'm a partner with God. So the Bible teaches that we should be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of God. We never let up. We never give up. That's why I told you earlier, I'm not going to ever retire. I'm always be working in the kingdom of God. I can hardly wait for this next phase of my life, in ministry. Amen. I mean, I watched my face growing up as a kid. Been preaching, been in ministry 55 years. Can you even imagine that? 55. That's a half a century. That's 5 decades of watching the evolution of the church of God. Amen. And I see my role in this season. Amen. My role is I'm going to be teaching other pastors. I'm going to be raising up pastors. Boy, I can't hardly wait to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, so there's a sovereign calling to purpose. There's a sovereign calling to partnership. Watch this. And there's also a sovereign calling to a place. Now, this is what a lot of folk don't understand, that I don't just move around and join churches like I want to. I don't have that option. Go with me in the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. See, remember now, the Bible is not like a menu. Well, you can pick what you choose out of it. Yeah, I like this, huh? But I don't like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I got to understand that when the Lord's got something in his word, man, I've got to respect what he puts in his word. Amen. I mean, 1 Corinthians. I told you 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. All right, I need new members to perk up on this. Need old members to perk up on this. Listen, Bible says that God sets you in the body as it pleases him. Not as it pleases you, but God knows where you will be able to grow and flourish. So it does matter where you go to church. Amen. Now, my particular assignment is to teach believers the word of God, teach you how to live by faith, teach you how to overcome, and to teach you to be victorious. And my assignment is that. And then God has set people in our church. He set you here so that you could learn. Many of you have been in churches where it was very emotional. And we get emotional sometimes, but our church ain't built on emotions. Our church is built on the discipline to teach you the word of God. Now, but just because you're part of a body, y'all want to clap? That's a pretty good place to clap. How many have learned something since you've been here? Yeah, all right, good. Because that's the part. That's my assignment. And I stick with my assignment. You follow me? Now, in the course of being here, there's always possibilities, watch this, of being offended or taking on somebody else's offense. Because anytime people get together with their attitudes and all that kind of stuff, there's offense, possibilities. Amen? But you got to understand this is where you've been set. Everybody say, I've been set. Now, even though this passage is talking about the universal body of Christ, it is also talking about the specific body of Christ, as we can see throughout the New Testament, that when believers went from one place to another, they joined themselves. Paul joined himself. Peter joined them. They were specific in being in a certain place. So the place where you go is vitally important. But what you've got to understand is you can't let anybody or anything run you out of your set place. Amen. Now, I like to use this illustration, and I thank God that, we got us a quarterback now for the Texans. We do. We got us a quarterback. They went and got it. Some of y'all could care less. Get back to the scripture, Bishop. Get back to the scripture. Okay. Yeah, now, so my, there's a pass in football, and you may see it sometime in football, they throw a pass and nobody's there. You follow me? And everybody go, why you throw the pass there? Because it was a timing route. The person was supposed to be there. The receiver was supposed to get to that place because that's where the ball was supposed to be delivered at a certain time in the play. You follow me? Now, and so everybody want to blame the quarterback when the guy not there. Why you throw the ball there? No. That's not the quarterback's fault. It is the responsibility of the receiver to fight his way through to get to the spot. See, that's where the ball was going to be delivered. That's where the blessing was going to come. And he has to be in the spot he's supposed to be to receive what he's supposed to receive. Now, he can run on down the field if he wants to, but that's not where the quarterback throwing the ball. So, see, you have to understand how to stay in your set place so that what God has designed for you can come to pass. Hallelujah. You have not been set as it pleases you, but as it pleases God. When you get displeased, you just hang in here until your pleasure come back. Amen. You know, I'm amazed, and I move on. I'm amazed at how people take on offenses from others. I'm really amazed at that, how people will take on offenses from others and get out of their set place. He didn't treat him right. He didn't treat her right. Well, you only heard that side. You never even called me to hear my side. No, serious. You never picked up the phone, and you don't think that they're going to tell you they're wrong. No, that ain't how we roll, you know. Person going to always give you their spin on it. So you can't make a positive decision or an accurate decision on right or wrong until you hear both sides. But see, it's always something, when that happens, I always know there was always something in your heart that you was looking for. Amen. Because I got to tell you, I'm not going to ever do anybody wrong. What did I say? I ain't going to never do nobody wrong. I stand before God on that. Because when I learned that lesson years ago, I learned a powerful lesson. I never do anybody wrong. I take the hurt before. Amen. And that's it. So, but see, you ain't heard my side because I'm not going to get up here and tell off on everybody. Because my hope and my desire for everybody is they repent, get right. You understand? And I got to tell you, I got some, man, I could call names, but I didn't ask to call their names. But I've got members here who've been on staff. And, for reason or another, they got terminated or quit or something like that. They stayed in church. Amen. Yeah. No, they didn't leave. Because this was still there. Come on, set play. Now, you know, I can use Larry because I already talked about Larry. You know, Larry worked for us for a long time. And then we had a kind of confrontation, and I had to let Larry go. He's my friend. I cry, but I'm just a steward of this ministry. I can't do what I want to do. I got to do what God tells me to do. And I had to let Larry go. Larry's my friend. We traveled, went all to Hawaii and all that kind of stuff together. His family, but God, I had to let him go. We sat there in my office, and I cried, and he cried. Then I told him, I said, this is what you do. I said, Larry, because God already told me he's going to build my buildings. Yeah. And I'm not going to go into detail of why the thing happened. But I just told him, say, you got to stay in church. Yeah. Keep your family there on the front row, and don't you let folk talk you into craziness. Because that's what folk do. They'll come, you going to let him do you like that, huh? Well, you don't even know all the facts. I said, it ain't your role to try to tell and explain everything. All you do is hold your course, Larry. And that's what he did. Watch this. And then at the set time, God said, now go to him and tell him it's time for him to build. Why? Because he proved himself. Watch this. And when I went back to him, I said, okay, Larry, the Lord says time. Because he had been faithful. He let folk talk him into craziness. He didn't get with the haters. He didn't start talking about the ministry because the ministry had been a blessing to him. He came here on crack. His wife brought him in here, a runner brought him here and said, this is my husband. He's on crack. He said he don't know how to get off. You the pastor, so you ought to know what to do. And she and left him. She left him right there in my office. Ministered to him, got him off crack, and one day God spoke to him and said, this is the man that will build all the buildings. And I just thought about something. Then why am I all surprised that God brought him back for Love City? Why am I surprised? I remember that day God told me that. I said, Lord, this is the best you can do. But look what has happened. Why? Now, my point is, see, he didn't run because this was his set place. He had to close his ears to folk who were with foolishness. Because all those people are doing is being used by the devil to try to get you out of your set place. So where the blessing is targeted, you won't be there to receive it. To spend too much time on that. Amen, amen. Anybody get blessed out of that? Amen. Everybody say, I'm going to stay in my set place. Now watch this. Here is the work of the devil. The work of the devil is to keep me from having the discipline for a lordship consciousness. What do I mean by lordship consciousness? I need to stay conscious that he's my Lord. Yeah. It's because there is the barrier to confident lordship living, which is the devil's argument. He argues based on reasoning. In other words, for instance, like when it comes to tithing and that sort of thing, of course, like when it comes to me building and me doing carrying out God's assignment, the devil would try to give me every reason in the world why it won't work. But I'm disciplined. Everybody say discipline. So the awesome argument of reasoning, it won't work. Argument of reputation. What if it doesn't work? You're going to be embarrassed. Or the argument of righteousness, which he can't win because I'm already established in his righteousness. Everybody say his righteousness. So now, what's this saying? When it comes to you having confidence in God, then what the confidence in God blessing you, God coming through, whatever it is, then the devil comes and try to talk and says, it ain't going to happen. That's reasoning. How God going to make that happen? Okay. Yeah. See, that's reasoning. Number two is reputation. It ain't going to happen, and you're going to be embarrassed again. Got it? Or number three, righteousness. It ain't gonna happen because you messed up in 1964. y'all laughing, but I'm telling you, that's how the devil comes. So what I have to do is I have to understand that, watch this, how he's going to come so that I am disciplined not to be moved by all of that argument, all of those fiery darts. I'm sticking with the word. Everybody say, I'm sticking with the word. So my breakthrough for confident living comes when I trust God. Everybody say, trust God. I'm almost through here, class. Everybody say, I trust God. Now, I trust God in a way. I say, when it comes to trusting God, it's a conscious deliberation. For instance, if you wanted a place to get your car fixed and you asked somebody for a good place, then it would you would take your car there based on a reliable reference. Amen? Everybody say personal reference. Yeah, a prominent reference, you know, prime reference. Or if you knew somebody who could do it, you trust them with your car based on a personal relationship. Or it would be if you knew how to do it, but you didn't have time to do it, and you asked somebody if they know how to do it, and they told you they know how to do it, then you would trust them based on what I call process regimen. Got it? Oh, God. I won't tell that. I guess I do. I like to cook. Just me, I just love to cook. I do. I think that's where pressures get it from. See, but we love to cook. And so that's this dish I like called lobster, ginger, and scallion. And they have one restaurant in town that fixes it right, and it's way across town. And they slow. So one day I wanted me some lobster, ginger, and scallion. And I said, don't feel like driving out there. So I said, I'm going to go on the internet, see if the recipe is out there. And the recipe was out there. And so I learned to cook my own lobster, ginger, and scallion. And I'm good. You understand? The boy's good. I'm telling you, the boy's good. And so we was on vacation. And I wanted some lobster, ginger, and scallion. So we were in Mexico, and I called for the cook, for the chef, because I got to tell him how to do it. Of course, I asked him if he knew, so he started explaining. He followed me, but I understood his regiment wasn't going to work. See? So I couldn't trust him to do it, because I couldn't trust his regiment. Because I knew what to do. I'm saying we can trust when we understand the person who we're putting our trust in know what they're doing. Okay? All right? And then third, we trust people based on proven results. So when it comes to trusting God, I can trust God based on, you know, a prominent reference, somebody. I got a reference to the scripture. I can trust him based on the process of regimen. I've watched how he do it in other people's lives. I can trust based on proven results. I've seen the proof of his work. And I can trust him, watch this, based on personal relationship after I have tried him. And it has worked for me. Amen. Now, this trust happens in a moment. I call it a life choice moment. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we wrap this up. Everybody say a life choice moment. Now, this is so important because whenever I'm faced with a dilemma, thank you, Jesus, whenever I'm faced with a dilemma, I've got to understand that there are two choices. There's a life choice. There's a death choice. Death meaning it's not, you know, physical death, but metaphorically mean a failure choice or a choice other than God. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I set before you what? Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may what? Everybody say stay with him, stay with him, stay with him. All right, now watch this. What you have to understand, anytime you're at the crossroads, anytime that it doesn't look like it's going to work, there's always a life choice option there. Because God says he will always have one. You got to stay with it. See, you may not see it now, but it doesn't mean it's not there. Because anytime you are faced with a dilemma, and I don't care how bad it looks, there's always a life choice. It is discipline to go with the life choice. What choice is that? That's the choice to act on the word of God. That's the choice to trust God. That's the choice not to get all emotional and all distraught. Every time. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tried or tested above that you're able. But with the temptation, also, put that on the screen quickly. Put with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You got to write that down, because this is about discipline. That even when I'm in a crossroads, thing looks negative all around me. He said in his word, watch this, also make a way of escape. Also make a way of escape. So there can be no problem for which there's not a God solution. I have to be willing. Watch this. I have to be willing to choose life. Choose the word. Choose God's way. I remember, you know, when I started church 33 years ago, I stood up one Sunday morning and talked about how God had, you know, put it in my heart to have a word teaching church. And I was going to lay hands on the sick, get folk filled with the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, 23 people showed up. Now I can react to the 23, to the 277 who left. And step there and cry, oh, George, why they leave? Why they leave? Why they leave? 23 can tell you, I stood up there and flat-footed and just flat-out talked that word like the place was full. Because that's discipline. God, watch it, God's assignment had not changed. I wish y'all could get this. I wish y'all, I'm telling you, God's assignment had not changed. Don't want me crying over folk who left. I saw the 23 as seed. In fact, some of the 23 started looking around and said, can he see nobody here? Ain't nobody here today. Everybody say discipline. Yes. See, discipline is to continue to do what you know the word says do, regardless of what's going on around you. Because that's how you get breakthrough. That's how you get supernatural results. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. So Mary and Martha had to be disciplined to ask them when Jesus said move the stone. Because they didn't feel like. The widow with the cake, she had to be disciplined to give the prophet the last cake with her son looking there hungry, knowing that that was their last meal. Hannah had to be disciplined to believe that when the prophet spoke to her and said, you're going to have a baby by this time next year, that the barrenness had been broken. The woman with the issue of blood had to be disciplined to say, I'm going out in this crowd anyway. She had to be disciplined to push her way through the crowd to touch the hem of his garments so that she could be healed. Discipline means no matter what it looks like, I'm going to hold fast to what God says. Somebody ought to say amen in here. Let me give you seven steps to discipline and then we'll call it a day. Amen. Number one, because discipline is cultivated. I can't lay hands on you for you to get discipline. It is something that you have to consciously develop. But if you consciously develop discipline, you can walk by faith. So you can't really walk by faith unless you have discipline. Because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. See, so I'm not looking at what looks like. I understand what God says and what he says is truth. Number one, what I have to do is there is the required timeout. In other words, where a situation is, I got to arrest my emotions because right now, you know, I feel like hollering. I feel like crying. But the Bible says if a man gets ready to build a tower, he first sits down. So that's the first thing I do. I got to sit down. I got to stop it. I got to stop it. I got to realize I'm in a fight. Yes, I am. You know, the devil is coming against my finances. The devil is coming against my health. It's the devil that's coming against my career. Time out. Yeah. Number two is I resist the trauma. What do you mean? Look, I'm choosing not to fear. I'm choosing not to fear shame. I'm choosing not to fear persecution. I'm choosing not to fear, not to fear failure. Everybody say no trauma. Because the Bible says if I keep my mind stayed on him, I'd have peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter if all hell is going on around me, I got peace on the inside. I resist the trauma. Number three, I reset my temperament. Now what you mean by that? I get a faith attitude. This is what I've been at church for. This is what Bishop taught me the word for. This is what I've been listening to all them CDs for. I got a faith. I'm in a faith state of mind. I'm in a faith. I wish I didn't have to fight, but I know how to fight. Amen. No, that's how you see, you're getting ready for the fight now. So number one was what I said, class number one was what? Required tonight. Number two, resist. Number three. All right, number four is I restrain my tongue. Don't you dare throw away your faith with your mouth. Don't you dare buy it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, God, why me? I restrain my tongue from following my feelings. I make my tongue agree with my faith. God, you already know what you're going to do. himself took my sickness in his own body on the tree, and by stripes I am healed. My God supplies all my need. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I ain't got to know. But my God supplies all my need. I'm going to make sure, because death and life is in the what? Come on, talk to me, New Life. Death is life. See, I don't just sit around church and hear this. In the middle of the fight, I got to understand. I got to restrain my tongue so that I can rehearse the truth. And the truth is what the Word of God says. I got to rehearse the truth in the middle of the fight. I got to rehearse the truth. I know what the truth is. The truth is what God said. The truth is not what I'm seeing. Amen. What I'm seeing is facts, but facts can change. Yeah. Truth is what God said. Fact is, yes, they saw a lump. Truth is, by stripes I'm healed. So I'm disciplined. Now I'm going to get on the phone calling, you know, they found a lump. I ain't getting on the phone doing that. I don't need folks' sympathy. I need a supernatural move in my life. Number six, I resolve to trust. Everybody say resolve to trust. I trust in the Lord. I get my heart and my mind together. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I can have victory with doubt in my head, Lord, so long as I got faith in my heart. And then I respond tenaciously. Everybody say tenaciously. That means I'm bold as a lion. I'm telling y'all. Oh, God, I'm bold as a lion. I'm trusting God. I'm bold as a lion. And when folks see folks just think, they say, he's just so arrogant. No, I ain't arrogant. I got confidence in God. Had a little old raggedy building. I had me a cool walk, man. I'm confident in God. This is only temporary. The folk wanted me to walk around with my head all down. Like, I don't know why they put me out there, church. I don't know why things like that. Why, God, that ain't going to help me. Now, y'all saw me live this and walk this out, you know, in last October. Man, last October, I walked out of here. I was in so much pain. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Y'all remember something? I just stood behind there and talked? Because I told the devil, you are not going to cause me not to go out here and preach to the people of God. I'm going out. Boy, and the moment I start talking, you know, that anointing hit me. Lord Jesus, I was all right. Hey, man, when I got back in the back, fight was on again, you understand? But it required discipline. Are y'all getting with me? See, yeah, I could have come there, sit there, and broke down. My wife is sitting there. She'll tell you not one time during this whole incident that I lost it. They ain't going to lose it. I'm trying to get you to understand your victory is in your discipline. Because we're not going to be around to encourage you. That's when you got to trust God. I said, this is what God says. It's my time to prove this. Been hearing about everybody else's testimony. I'm going to have my own testimony. And that's when your life changes forever. Amen, amen. So, you know, when you know what to do, you just know what to do. Like I said, I did it when I started tithing. I had to start tithing based on discipline. Amen. I had to build a church based on discipline. Like I said, if there's one lesson I learned from Dr. Price, Apostle Price, and that was how to stare the devil in the face and trust God anyway. Somebody here needs this lesson today. Watch this. Because it ain't based on you. When you have placed it on him, and you can keep your joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen, amen. And no matter how long it takes, if you don't quit, you cannot fail. Repeat after me. Let's get this word out. Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I have confidence in you. I will never be ashamed. Your mercy, your grace, your love, and your righteousness are the reasons for my confidence. Therefore, in pressure situations, I always choose life. I always choose the truth. I always choose to obey you. And I choose to rejoice and know all things work together for my good. I reject and resist all satanic thoughts of doubt, defeat, discouragement, fear, and shame in Jesus' name. His blood renews and refreshes my mind. So I live in expectation of a supernatural life of favor, blessing, increase, because the love of God and the life of God is in me. Therefore, things shall not remain as they have been. There's a revival. There's an awakening. There's a change being made. A change in my attitude. A change in my home. A change in my health. A change in my career. A change in my finances. Thank God there's a change being made. Let's worship the Lord now. Father, we just thank you.